Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your Chantress of Everything Valuable and Beautiful. And my good buddy, Alejandra Figuera is here. And we're talking about the Milonga that's coming up. And also, she's got two special guests today that they're just, both of them are blowing my mind. And just to introduce a little bit to you. First of all, we have Fernanda Gee, and Fernanda is, she is a Tony Award winner. She's brought tango to many places. She has a permanent studio in Boston. And, you know, Fernanda, it's so interesting because I was listening to a couple of your interviews, and I believe that you started your first studio in Somerville. Is that right?
We were studying tango in Somerville, with was already in a studio there when we moved to Boston. And then we decided to open our new school and we moved to Brighton. And one thing is to teach at the studio tango, but the whole idea was to promote tango, not just a dance only, as a culture. So it's so many aspects, the music, the poetry, the story behind. Who, that was the whole philosophy. That's what we opened the school.
Well, what I was interested to know is, you know, back in about a million years ago, I was an undergraduate at Tufts University, and I lived in Somerville. And I was saying, oh, that's, you know, Fernanda came over and was in Somerville. That kind of got my attention. I was super interested.
Somerville is a very interesting town, and because of the cosmopolitan, it became one of the towns with people from all over the world decided to live there. But now Boston in general is a great place for Argentine tango, because you are reaching not only to North America people, you reach to people from all over the world.
So you, I understand from Ali that, you know, you are really connected here in Santa Barbara. She was that you actually were, when we were starting our journey with tango and Ali and Milonga, you were one of the first teachers to come from Los Angeles.
Yes.
And trained a lot of our dancers.
When we moved to the United States, we were traveling, we were based in many different places. And then for a long time, we were in the West Coast, Los Angeles, Las Vegas. So in this area was not so much tango. And we're talking about 99, 2000, you know, about that time. And we would drive from Las Vegas or from Los Angeles to come to this very small, but very, very enthusiastic community. And we saw the process of growing. We saw how these people now, last night we have a reunion from that time. And see that they all stay in tango. And that's the power of this dance, that not only connect people, is you feel like you have something who stay with you forever. Doesn't matter how long you don't see people, but you have this very intimacy between, you know, people that make you feel like you're going to be with this person for the rest of your life.
Well, speaking of being with somebody for the rest of your life, your relationship with your partner.
Yes, we were 23 years, husband and wife, and also dance partner. And so we travel around the world. We were competitions and festivals and like, and then when we decided to be apart was a big shock, because to be a woman in the tango world, it's not that simple. But even though it's changing these days, if you have to think about it 20 years ago, I think it would be completely impossible. But today you had women who are covering the roles for a lot of males. Like I did a celebration last weekend, a woman's celebration in Boston, and I have three amazing violin, bandoneon, and pianist who that even 15 years ago was something that impossible even to think about it. To have women playing the instrument that was such a male role. Now you have women who are leading, women who are DJ, women who are organizing, you know. So the role of the woman in the tango is really growing so much, and it's making a change. It's making a big changes. And it's not like we don't.
And you've seen this in your own career. So your husband, Guillermo Merlo.
Mm-hmm. My ex-husband.
Oh, that's your ex-husband. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you traveled with him for quite a while, and now basically you're on your own, and you're seeing the role of women change in the dance world, in the tango world. It's so interesting because I always thought of that particular dance as being about equality in a way, because you got both partners being really strong. You know,
you see, that's when the cultural part began in there. Our women's, my grandmother, my mother, my grandmother, they're very, very strong, powerful women, but they're always behind the men. So, and it's this misunderstanding about the macho, the machista. They're very nice with the woman. They're very, but it's them and the woman. And so in the tango, you had a leader identified by the male figure, but we always said the leader is a very wrong translation of the role in the tango, because it's more like a proposer. The what we call leader in here in reality is the one who proposes where are we going. But if you, the partner doesn't finish or answer, we don't go anywhere. And this is such a cultural thing. When my grandfather will be the one who will go out and work, but and then he will bring the money to the house, and my grandmother will be the one who knows what to do with the money. And, you know, like these simple things. And she didn't need it to feel like she was the leader of the family, but we all will wait for her to make the last decision or to set what to eat or what where to go, you know, like, so it's a very implicit power that doesn't have to be showing off that much. And tango captured a lot of that. So to be a follower or partnering, I don't like the word follower, because take away a lot of things that is not, that is missing in that word. But to partnering, you have to be very strong in your role, very secure. So that was misreading and upside Argentina, because it's a culture thing. So women, sometimes I get the students where they said, I don't want him to tell me what to do. And I said, no, you know, it's not about that. It's like someone has to tell what to do. The thing is, are you ready to respond? Are you ready? You have a strong personality to change that, you know, to answer something different.
Hernanda, what's so interesting, so we're talking about the role of the sexes, and this is perfect opportunity for me to say that you just came back from Colombia. So interesting. I have two nieces that were born in Colombia. I haven't been, but both of them have been and told me it's pretty fantastic. You premiered Tango Varón, a piece for eight male dancers. And Ale sent me a little of it, and it's so strong. It's so powerful. And there is a lot of sexuality involved, but it's very interesting because it's eight males. And so it's really, there's a lot of dynamic tension in that ballet. I think, gosh, so you're going to go also to the Bay Area after you leave Santa Barbara, and you're going to judge the National Tango Championship. But we want you really to come back and see if we can mount the Tango Varón here.
Yes, believe me too.
I think it would be I so want that. Powerful. Yeah.
You know, the whole idea is that when I keep seeing that the stereotype of tango over and over. And I said, you know, it's enough of this we are missing the point of connection. The society is changing, you know, and humans are seeking different type of connection.
That's right.
And so the only thing we interpret the tango is this sexy woman and this powerful man and like the this tension between each other. Okay, we know that, we got that. It was necessary to export tango, you know, but it's way more than that. So I said, I need to do something who can go to the extreme so people can see tango as a way of expression, regardless of the gender. And I choose males because I think tango is very masculine in the way. So if I can really break in a stereotype with the essence of male, and was not easy, is not easy, because I get is, oh, this is a gay show, or this is about, and it's like all the way around, the whole show is talking about freedom of identity in house society. So I represent it by clothes. So the dancers come in almost naked and they're free like a kid playing. And then they've been put in a pant on, and so they're not that free anymore. And then they put the shoes on, so the feet have to restrain the movements. And then they put a shirt on. So I'm talking about using clothes, how sometimes the society identify us. And we never had the time to see, okay, who I am, how I want to dress, how I want to move, what type of relationship I want to be. So, and then if we identify, we put labels. And I said, this show is completely trying to not doing that. Of course, but people see a picture of a man playing inside, put a dress or high heels, just as an exploration, how I feel if I put a dress. That, you know, I'm less men or more men or what. So the whole process was incredible. And I went to do it in Colombia, for that reason, because I want a different culture. I don't want Argentinian, they're amazing dancers, but they had tango so ingrained in that stereotypes that I wanted the creativity process to be in a country where they're different. And so
I get it. I get it. I mean, just watching the piece was incredible. As you say, the curtains that we hide behind, you know, our culture, our clothing, our traditions, all this sort of thing, it breaks it down really efficiently, I think, the piece. And that I was saying to Ali, you know, gosh, I would love to have the piece here in Santa Barbara. Maybe when you get back from the Bay Area, are you going to pass through Santa Barbara again?
No, I'm going back to Boston, but I'm really, I have I reach out to many different people and producers that I work in the past. Unfortunately, when I get an answer, it's like, this is a gay show. What are you doing that now after all your career?
No.
And if it was a gay show, what is the point? You know, it's expression and that art should make you uncomfortable, not always give you, you know, happy endings.
Right. So, what I got out of it was it was an artist's attempt to solve a problem. It has nothing to do with gay, not gay culture. It's an artist's attempt to solve a problem about freedom. You know, basically in a nutshell. So Richard's giving us all these hand signs. We got to go to quick break. When we get back from the break, the incredible Joe Powers is here. And we're going to talk a little bit about Joe. And he's a harmonica virtuoso. And when I say that, it's like, well, what are you talking about, Elizabeth? I'm talking about harmonica virtuoso. And it's amazing what he can do with that instrument. And and how he's connected with the tango world. Of course, if you listen to traditional tango, you'll hear the harmonica repeatedly. But Joe, he's performed all over the world with so many tango maestros, but also classical music here in the in this country, and abroad. He's played classical music, you know, and some of the people that he's performed with are just icons. And so we'll talk a little bit to Joe. And I don't know how Richard's keyed up the music, but we're going to hear a little bit of Joe, and then I've got a little bit of Fernanda's piece that we were talking about, some of the works that she's done. And then I've also kind of made a pastiche a little bit. So we'll have to see how Richard's put that together. But if you hear harmonica, that's Joe, who we're going to talk to when we get back from the break. Don't turn that down, dear listener. I'm speaking with Fernanda Gee and Joe Powers, and of course, Alejandra Folguera, my good friend, the founder of the Milonga. That's a fantastic event that happens in Santa Barbara around tango. And Ali's brought these wonderful performers into town. We're speaking to them. Joe is actually performing on Sunday, April the 2nd, live. And so, you know, that we're going to speak with Joe. But the idea is that Ali's brought these world-famous performers to our little town, which is pretty fantastic. Don't turn that down. Back in a sec. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and my good friend Alejandra Folguera is here, who has brought us the Milonga for a number of years now, which is a celebration of all things tango. And tango is not just the dance, it's the music, it's the culture, it's the philosophy. And as Fernanda Gee was saying, who's a great artist, who's visiting us from Boston, she's on her way to judge a national competition. But she's telling us that the world of tango is changing, and that the roles, male-female roles, are changing greatly. And I want to introduce Joe Powers. And Ali was so darling. She says, can I add another tango artist to the radio program today? Joe will be in Santa Barbara playing tango on harmonica Sunday, April the 2nd. And people tell me he's fantastic, and she sent me a couple of links. Well, he is fantastic, and I want to introduce Joe. Over 16 years a harmonica virtuoso, he's performed at concerts, festivals, milongas around the world. He's performed in Paris and Tokyo and every place in between, and he's collaborated with a lot of tango maestros. And Ali's opened my eyes to a lot of different tango maestros. In fact, we've had a couple of opportunities, Ali and I, to interview electro tango fusion bands, and even Ali brought me a band that was coming to Santa Barbara. We interviewed the band while they were rehearsing in Buenos Aires. It was fantastic, the music, and Joe performs with those kind of folks. They're really cutting edge. I mean, they're just amazing, cutting edge musicians. So they kind of are blending jazz and classical and hip hop and world music and Argentine tango, and Joe participates in all of those. Well, he got a music degree from the University of Oregon, and then he won the Belgian Crystal Harmonica Award in the classical division way back when he was a kid in 2008. And some of the maestros he's performed with we'll get into, but in 2012, his tango quintet was featured with sold-out performances at the Oregon Bach Festival. And, you know, it's amazing. So here's Joe, and he's on his harmonica, and the partner on the top billing, both Joe and, wait for it, Joshua Bell on the violin. Wow. And then 2013, he guest starred with the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra and kicked off their 35th season. And he did double performances of the Gordon Jacob Harmonica Suite. 2016, a world tour, sold out concert with the Barcelona Symphonic Band. Performed with Villa-Lobos Harmonica Concerto in Macedonia. In 2018, he made an 18-country world tour, including performances at the International Congress of Argentine Tango in Buenos Aires and in Brazil for the Sao Paulo Tango Festival. And then I actually went down and tracked down Apasionado, which is his fifth studio album recorded in 2015 in Buenos Aires. And I listened to some of the music, and you just go floating away. It's fantastic. And Joe, Richard was saying, Richard's our producer. He was saying, oh, I love harmonicas. I had a bunch when I was a kid, et cetera. We all did, but we all didn't turn into harmonica virtuosos. So tell me how this all started.
Well, first of all, it's very nice to meet you, Elizabeth. And it's a pleasure to be here. And second, it's normally when your aunt gives you a harmonica for Christmas, she doesn't expect you to grow up and become a professional harmonica player. But it just kind of happened, you know. The harmonica just kind of stayed with me my whole life. And in college, I started dabbling into all kinds of music. I kind of grew up playing more typical harmonica stuff like blues and rock and folk music and that kind of stuff, pop music. And in college, I got into playing jazz and classical music. And then I got into dancing. And this is kind of what changed my life. I got into tango dancing big time and decided I was going to learn to speak Spanish. And I moved down to Argentina after graduating. And I studied tango dance. And while I was there, I heard some recordings of a harmonica player who was active in the 1970s named Hugo Diaz. And I was totally blown away. And I said, that's what I want to do. And so I went back to my hometown, Portland, and I started playing tango music. And I've been doing it ever since.
Okay, that's an amazing story. So what called you? I mean, obviously the music, but you discovered the dance, and then you were a musician, you know, you have degrees in music, and you're a musician, and you discovered the dance, and the dance took you to Argentina. And I'm looking at you. Okay, so dear listener, I'm looking at Joe, who looks like, well, I have to just say, he looks like a Midwestern kid where I grew up. He looks like he's from like Minnesota. He's got the blonde hair.
Well, don't you know? No, I'm a Portlander, Elizabeth. I lived there my whole life.
Right. So I come from the Midwest, so I'm associating. It's like, well, but this blonde, beautiful man discovers tango and moves to Buenos Aires and learns that peculiar Spanish, and I'm a little bit confused, Joe. How what took you? What I know people have these epiphanies, but tell me more.
Well, you know, Elizabeth, sometimes in your life things just grab your heart, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you're just along for the ride, and of course. There was a girl involved as well, you know. You know, that definitely helped. But you've heard tango music. I mean, it's and you've seen the dance, I'm sure. It's one of the most beautiful, passionate art forms that exists on this planet. And I just couldn't stay away.
I have a dumb question for you. So I grew up. My mom is she was a pianist, an accompanist for the Lyric in Chicago, and so she was the first female to graduate Juilliard with a conducting degree way back when. She's born in 1929, and so I grew up with a musician, and by the way, she had perfect pitch, was also a pain in the rear end, but you know, she would accompany choruses and barbershop and symphony rehearsals. And I'd come down to Chicago with her and sit underneath the piano. And then, you know, I was exposed to a lot of different musicians. And it's like, okay, the flute, the flautist doesn't, the flautist thinks he's the key, the kid, what they call the key to the orchestra. The concert master thinks they're the key to the orchestra. The bass guys think that, you know, they the orchestra couldn't exist without them. And what do other musicians think about the harmonica virtuoso?
Well, it does seem to be kind of a novelty to people, you know. But really, it's just an instrument, you know, just like any other instrument. And it really just depends on who's playing it and what they're doing with it. So, it's, you have to kind of hear it. It's not the common tango instrument, but it's got the soul of the bandoneon inside of it, I think.
Yes, that's exactly what I was trying to say. I was wrong in my introduction that it's typically like the sound of that bandoneon, and it works so beautifully in all the recordings that you've done. And just to shout out one more time, the album Appassionato, if you're interested in taking a listen of that, that's absolutely beautiful. Well, Richard's giving us a sign we have to go to quick break. I'm really interested to talk. I wonder if Ollie would let me do this. So if Fernanda and Joe would talk a little bit about their journeys together. And maybe Fernanda could ask Joe a question and vice versa about their journeys in this world. As Joe was saying, something grabbed his heart. Obviously, the same thing happened to Fernanda. And so I want to hear more about that when we get back from the break. Hey, Richard, are you there?
I am here, all of me, in the snow.
Okay. So shall we go to quick break? When we get back from the break, I want to throw the...
You got it.
The floor open. Okay, don't turn that dial. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and just this a wonderful combination of people that my good friend Ollie is here, who is one of the founders of our Milonga in town. And we have been honored to have many, many, many genius performers in the world of tango, both classical and funk and electric tango and everything else. Ollie's brought us so many interesting people, and today she's brought us Fernanda Gui and Joe Powers. And I'm fascinated to know that Joe is one of, if not the world's greatest harmonica virtuosi, and it's amazing what he can do. He, over the break, dear listener, he was showing Richard how to bend a note on the harmonica. It's so interesting. Joe, can we hear it? Can you show us?
Sure. So probably most of your listeners are familiar with the 10-hole diatonic harmonica. That's the one that you've got under your couch, or maybe in a drawer somewhere, or perhaps in the back of your closet. This is your kind of your blues harmonica in quotation marks. And on this harmonica, you can get all kinds of cool bluesy sounds. This sort of sound, right? And right. I'm doing a lot of note bending, where I'm using my tongue to change the pitch.
Fascinating, fascinating stuff, and it's interesting. So I just was reflecting on Joe saying, it's telling him that my mom was part of the Lyric in Chicago as an accompanist. and I was hanging out there, and of course, meeting a lot of the orchestra people when I was a kid. And I was asking Joe, you know, what do other classical musicians think of the harmonica? Well, it's how you play it, like any other instrument, Joe says. Fantastic.
I should also say, Elizabeth, sorry to interrupt you, that this one right here, which your listeners can't see, but it's quite a bit bigger than the standard diatonic. This is called a chromatic harmonica, and it's got 16 holes instead of 10. And this is the one I use when I play tango music. And I can actually double the notes. Instead of playing one at a time, I can play two notes at once, and I can get that bandonian sound for the tango.
Wow. Okay, so you guys can't see Joe, but I can, because Richard's doing a little video so we can see each other. And not only is he moving his mouth, but he's using his hands as almost like a resonant chamber. You know, like the way a violin is shaped, that's the chamber that makes the resonation, does the waves, this waves of sound. So Joe's creating that with his hands. So his hands are moving. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, we call that a vibrato.
It's a vibrato. Okay.
That's right. Yes.
And so Ollie, with your permission, a couple of minutes here. I want to throw the floor open. And Fernanda, if you'd ask Joe a question and vice versa, or.
Will be very nice, because this Sunday we are going to host a workshop together, Joe and me, because it's a little bit of separation between the dance and the music. And I'm one of the person who insists that if you don't understand the music, or the musician doesn't understand the dance, tango doesn't exist as a completion. So I was talking with another musicians about the importance of the word tension and tango, either in the music and either dance. And sometimes the word tension has some bad propaganda, because we think in tension as something that is contracting. And no, for us, tension is necessary. If there's no tension in the dance, in the couple, it's not communication. With something that is very loose, we cannot communicate it with the body. So I wonder what Joe is thinking about that in terms of playing the harmonic, because I see in his body that tension and release constantly. So I would like to say, because for dancer, tension is necessary to suspend, to create a momentum, power, energy, layers, dynamic, textures. So I wonder what he think about that word, if they use it in the music as well.
Sure. That's a good question. Well, I think that tension is everything. I think that it's everything. I think without tension, there is no tango. I think there's no music without tension. There could be, but it'd be pretty bland. It'd be pretty boring. I think what makes everything interesting is the tension. We create a tension when we play the music. We create a tension in the dance. And sometimes we try and push that tension as far as we can before we resolve it. And the further we push that tension, the more exciting it is. That's why
when you were playing other musics, that was something that was also important, or you find it out more and more in the tango?
It's very important. In fact, the play with tension and resolution is one of the most important aspects of music. This is how we create beautiful, interesting music.
I brought that out is because when I'm teaching dance, especially in cultures who are very uncomfortable with the tension, even with the word tension, they're uncomfortable, so they pull back and they want something very plain, and it's been something for years that I'm kind of struggle to communicate it. And finally, I'm getting to the point that I say, you know what? Yes, it's cool and it's necessary to be uncomfortable. One time you pass or you deal with the uncomfort, the other side feels beautiful. And we are seeking, culturally speaking, to this thing that everything should be easy, everything should be simple and light. No. And I don't think it's realistic. So I think dance and music can give us this opportunity to learn how to be in an uncomfortable place and be comfortable there. So
it's how we grow, right? It's how we tell the story. The challenges, the tension, and what we do with it. It's all part of the art form.
I want to say, I just said, Joe, I it's so interesting to me. So there's a favorite bird that is around my little condo, and it's like a dove or something, because he goes, do, 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 do. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and it's one long one and 3 short ones. And every time he does that, I sit and wait between the long one and the 3 short ones, thinking he's going to do 2 short ones or maybe 4. He always does 3. And it's like, he's a great example of this tension, because I'm listening. I'm thinking, I know what's going to happen next, but I kind of don't.
Exactly. Yes.
And yes. So, it's, yeah.
He makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So Richard's giving us a sign. We got to go to quick break. I want to continue this between you two. I want Joe to ask Fernanda a question as well. And they seem to know each other. And like Ollie was saying, is they're doing that. Well, of course, Joe is performing live on April 2nd. And Fernanda is in town to give class and to teach and to give what we used to say in ballet, to give bar. But she's actually giving a class or a number of classes here at community workshops. And if you're interested, of course, you can look up both of the performers we're talking today, but you can also get in touch with Ollie and through her network, you can find out more about the April the 2nd event. Hey, Ollie, I see there. Where can folks find out or make reservations to go to the April 2nd event?
Yes, I have a website. It's sbtango.com, sbtango.com. And I'm inviting the community to come and check out what it's like to be in a tango environment when you have live music and people dancing to it. So I would love people to hear this, to show up Sunday, April 2nd, from 7 to 9 in this special, special new studio that we have in the back of Sears.
And they don't need to dance. They just come to show it.
Tango is something that can be shared that if you don't dance as well. Just show up and share, you know, in the food, share in the conversation, just be in that environment, see what we see in it. Share.
And Ali, you said you're at the back of the old Sears?
Yes, yes. You know where the upper level where the Airbus drops people?
Yeah.
And picks up people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of like a speakeasy, okay? It's a secret. Secret location, but it's an amazing new studio that we have, has no marking whatsoever. So you go there to where the Airbus picks up or whatever, and in that same parking lot, you see a table lamp on the floor, okay? And you go through the curtain, a heavy curtain. I know. This is tango.
Very, very cool. So it's sbtango.com if you want to find out what Ali is saying. It's in the evening, 7 to 9 p.m., and Joe will be doing his music, and Fernanda's doing community workshops as well. And it, as far as the experience, it's like, well, okay, and over time, Ali's shared with me that she has all kinds of people come, and a lot of people come, of all ages. And you don't necessarily have to be a trained dancer at all. And there's all different levels of people. And then there's people who just like the experience. Okay, Richard's telling me I better be quiet. and get off the air. When we get back, I want to Joe to ask Fernanda a question. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm talking with my good friend, Ali Folgira, who has brought us so many fantastic world-famous tango performers, not just in the classical tango world, but all kinds of outre stuff. And it's been so interesting to know Ali and to know her friends that come from all over the world. It's interesting. I was saying to Joe, who's a harmonica virtuoso, he's playing for us in April the 2nd in Santa Barbara here. And of course, information, he's playing at a kind of a club event almost. It's a community workshop as well with Fernanda Gui, sbtango.com, 7 to 9 p.m. Sunday evening. And it's a hidden little studio at the back of the old Sears building, which is fantastic. Joe was saying he's going all over. I mean, he's on the West Coast, banging back and forth, Los Angeles and all up and down the coast. And then he goes on to Europe and performs tango music. And then he goes to Asia, spring and summer. And that's an amazing tour. It's doing all over the world. And I said, there's tango in Asia. And he said, there's tango on the dark side of the moon.
You know, Elizabeth, if there's tango in Eugene, Oregon, which is where I learned to tango, then there's tango everywhere. That's right. You can't escape tango.
Okay.
It's so coming for you.
Will you interview Fernanda just a little bit? We've got a few minutes left, but just ask her some questions that you've always wanted to know.
Fernanda, querida, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien.
So, Fernanda, what did you have for breakfast?
Just mate.
So, you know, there are a lot of misconceptions about tango, right? And I'm willing to bet that probably a lot of your listeners have never heard or seen authentic tango. Okay. So what's the number one thing that you'd like people who don't know anything about tango to understand about tango?
The most important thing is that they need to give themselves the opportunity to immerse in something that tango does is allow yourself to be yourself. And it's almost contradictory of what is selling tango around. People trying to sell is this stereotype, yeah, macho and early. You can fake life in dancing. All my life do acting, and you must be yourself in order to be and true brings is to be present in the real present moment, like literally present, and you can find yourself. So if you think about it, how many times, how many opportunities in life we have to be using these two conditions, being in the present moment and be yourself 100%. I don't think we do that. We always are in thinking what to say or why we say it to fix it, what we are going to say. And we always trying to be what the other expect us to be. In tango, that doesn't work. So I always said in this very individualist world, we must try the tango to keep us together.
Mm. Okay, so one more shout out. The sbtango.com, the community workshop is April the 2nd from 7 to 9 p.m. in the back of the old Sears building, ample parking. It's a little bit of a hidden spot, which is kind of cool. So go online to sbtango.com to learn more. Ali, thank you again for bringing me such wonderful people. Joe, magnificent philosopher and musician, and Fernanda Guia, creative artist, choreographer, visionary, and teacher. So thank you all.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Ale. Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth.